Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, September 26, 2024, 1 John.
All right, I'm going to add to that. You don't have to vacuum anywhere tonight. Tyrone has been working his butt off, and he doesn't have that much of a butt to work off, but all week long. And he has steam cleaned and hot water and every bit in between the rows, the entire auditorium, all week long. He's been working on that. And tomorrow he's going to hit the big classroom. He's going to hit my office. He's going to get the rest of it tomorrow. So you don't have to vacuum anything. You can get in your auto and scoot. You know. But he's been doing an absolutely phenomenal job on cleaning this carpet, which should have been done many times before, but anyway, he's doing a great job now. Also, Saturday, the evangelism team will be at Child Haven, and pray that God will prepare the hearts of the elementary age boys and girls and the staff, and draw by his hand of grace the ones who are supposed to be there. Pray for the evangelism team, that they will be channels of God's grace, tools in God's hands. Pray that the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately, and that God might use this to bring many sons into glory. That's Saturday at Child Haven. And then also, next week the classes change. They're not Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week. They're Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. Monday the 30th, Tuesday the 1st, Wednesday the 2nd. No class on Thursday. They're going to be resealing the parking lot. And they don't want anybody over here driving around on it. I don't want anybody over here driving around on it. So Thursday of next week, no class. And then when next class will be on Sunday. And by Sunday, you should be able to drive on it. But please don't go out and do your wheelies on it and things like that. I don't know what there is about church parking lots, but about at least once a month, we have cars get out in our parking lot and hit the gas pedal and twirl around, then hit the rocks and spread the rocks out all over the parking lot and all over the street. And I'm in their study and I come running out just to see them drive off. I didn't get a chance to even shoot my .45. And they do it about once a month. But that, you know, the deacons don't do anything as it is. They get to come over and clean all the rocks off the parking lot and out of the street. And I'm just being... That's not true. My deacons do more work. None of you realize what is done here, these people, day after day after day after day. But we're a team, and if I'm going to have the time to study and teach the Word of God and stand up here and feed you the Word of God, it takes a team so that there is face-to-face teaching in a local church, and that's what we have here. The deacons do a fantastic job, and there are many of you that do the same. So, class is over. No vacuuming. Don't go get any vacuums. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Father, for the aletheia, the absolute truth of your word. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of assembling in freedom to fellowship with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. A great passage on prayer and how the believer can have confidence. Prayer promise for those mature believers. A prayer promise for those of you who have enough positive volition and genuine humility to assemble in a sound Bible teaching church consistently and faithfully and grow up in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation, and attain spiritual maturity. And when you do that, you will have absolute confidence because you have confidence in prayer. You will understand that you have two fantastic royal commissions given to you. You are commissioned a royal priest, and in your royal priesthood, you, unlike the specialized priesthood of the age of Israel, the Levites, they offered sacrifices every day, animal sacrifices, food sacrifices. We are not the Levitical specialized priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. But we also are to offer sacrifices. But they're spiritual sacrifices. And Hebrews 13, 15, and 16 defines those spiritual sacrifices. And one of the first ones mentioned is prayer. Prayer is a spiritual sacrifice from your royal priesthood that you offer day after day after day after day. Prayer that includes thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving for who and what God is. His plan, His will, His purpose. It includes divine good production as a result of the filling of the Spirit and maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. And it includes left me just for a second. But what we have here is a believer who has attained spiritual maturity. And therefore, verses 14 and 15 says, "And this is the confidence which we have before Him, God the Father, that if we ask anything in prayer according to His will, He hears us." In fact, when we know that He hears us in whatever we might have asked in prayer, we know that we are granted and obtain the requests which we have asked of Him. Confidence and effectiveness in prayer exists when the believer has advanced to spiritual adulthood. Confidence is a virtue, virtue directed toward God. Confidence in prayer is dependent upon knowledge of the will of God, and therefore effectiveness in prayer must relate to knowing the will of God. And 1 John 5:14 and 15 is a fantastic prayer promise for the believer who has grown up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the believer who has attained spiritual adulthood. And then Hebrews 4:16 is reality. Let us therefore draw near with confidence. Confidence. That's the spiritually adult believer who has confidence. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. And this is seen beautifully in James chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. The prayer of a grace-righteous believer, that is a spiritually mature believer, is powerful and effective. And then James gives the illustration of exactly what he just said. Elijah was a man just like us. Elijah is the illustration of a spiritually mature believer, a grace-righteous believer, whose prayer is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. And this is the prayer of a spiritually mature believer for his nation. Elijah was praying for his nation, and it had powerful and effective prayer for the client nation to God. The most effective prayer life begins when you attain spiritual adulthood, because now the believer has a thorough understanding of God's will, and his prayers comply with the will of God. Until the believer attains spiritual adulthood, his prayers will be semi-effective at best. Prayer is virtue dependent. And therefore, when you fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, that is when your prayer will be powerful and effective and will accomplish much. Oh, by the way, all the time I was sitting here, the other spiritual sacrifice is grace giving. That's number 4. Thank you, Father. In spiritual childhood, your prayers are not very effective because most of your petitions are related to your sin nature, your lust patterns. The lust patterns of the sin nature and your own personal arrogance. And your intercessions are usually only for those people that you like. But that's not what we're told to pray. We're told to pray for all people. Intercessory prayer is for all mankind, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The great power in intercessory prayer is when you have impersonal love for all mankind. For example, we are commanded to pray for those who are in government in our country right now. Do you pray for the leaders in our country? Do you pray for the liberals in control, the Democrats? You're commanded to. And if you have impersonal love for all, you will. You're commanded to pray for those who govern you, so that we might live in peace in this country. And so, but if you don't have impersonal love for all, you won't pray for them. You won't pray for those who are right now in the administration and governing our country. But I pray every day for these people. They need prayer. Well, if anybody needs prayer, they need prayer. Lots of prayer. And so, but again, if you don't have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, well, then you're no better. You're just a baby believer praying for the people you like. You're probably praying for Donald Trump. Well, fine, I'm glad you pray for Donald Trump. I pray for Joe Biden. He doesn't really know what's going on or anything, but I pray for him. I pray for those who are running the show. It's certainly not him. Some other people are. I pray for those who are in authority because I'm mandated to do so. And I know prayer is powerful and effective. We need to be praying for the people who are in power right now. And I don't know what's going to happen during the election. I know this, what we have been studying on the Wednesday night class. The only hope for America is spiritual revival. That's the only hope for our nation, spiritual revival. And that means the grace gospel, and very few people even know the grace gospel. False gospels are given all over the place, but nobody can be saved with false gospels. But the grace gospel needs to be given all over America, so that God might call many sons into glory. And believers need to turn back to God and His Word. Believers need to get out of the cosmic system. Believers need to rebound. Believers need to get back into a sound Bible teaching church consistently and faithfully and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, so that the pivot will enlarge. And then God will deliver our nation from the fifth cycle of discipline, just like in the days of Isaiah. They were on the verge of the fifth cycle of discipline. But there was a great spiritual revival under the teaching of Isaiah. And they were delivered from the fifth cycle of discipline by the Lord Jesus Christ. In one night, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest soldier of all time, killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. And Sennacherib went back home. Now, that's the opposite of what happened in Jeremiah's day. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. There was no spiritual revival. There was no recovery, spiritual recovery. And as a result, Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans came in and totally destroyed the southern kingdom, Jerusalem, the temple. The fifth cycle of discipline was administered. So we'll either be an illustration of Jeremiah's day and be removed as a client nation to God, or will be an illustration of Isaiah's day and the deliverance from the fifth cycle of discipline. But that's where last night's class is so important. And this night's class, every night's class and morning class is extremely important. In spiritual childhood, your prayers then are not very effective because most of your petitions are related to the lust patterns of your sin nature and arrogance. And your intercessions are only for those people you like. But intercessory prayer is for all mankind. The great power in intercessory prayer is impersonal love for all. The effectiveness of prayer and the spiritually mature believer is also seen in Psalm 116, 1 and 2, which we noted last time. The promise to the believer in spiritual adulthood is found in John 15, 7. If you abide in me, Jesus Christ said, that is living the spiritual life, and my words abide in you, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. The key to powerful and effective prayer is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. When you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, then you can ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Because by that time, you will know the will of God and have enough divine viewpoint thinking to know how to use the weapon of prayer effectively. One of the signs that you have attained spiritual maturity is your devotion to prayer in your life day after day after day. And this is seen in Romans chapter 12. We ended with this last time. Let's start with that this time. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. That's virtue love. Specifically here, impersonal love for all. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Impersonal love for all. Give preference to one another in honor, grace, righteousness. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, that is filled with the Spirit, living the spiritual life. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, hope 3. Persevering in tribulation. That is, stand fast in times of undeserved suffering for blessing. And spend much time, the Greek word here, spend much time in prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, which is grace, righteous production of the spiritually mature believer. And then, bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. And as a part of your royal priesthood, you offer the spiritual sacrifices of prayer, 1 Peter 2:5, compared with Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. Now, that brings us to prayer and the principle of precisely correct procedure. Prayer and the principle of precisely correct procedure. Now let me ask you a question. Does God want you to pray? Yes. Has God commanded you to pray? Yes. Then prayer is a right thing, right? Yes. Since it's a right thing must be done in a right way to be right. So that's point one. A right thing must be done in a right way to be right. There are a lot of people who pray, but they're doing it in the wrong way. And that's wrong. A right thing done in the wrong way is wrong. So here are all these people praying. Some of them are believers praying, some of them are unbelievers praying, but they're all praying, but they're doing a right thing in the wrong way, and it's wrong, and it goes nowhere. The prayers go no farther than the ceiling. A right thing must be done in a right way to be right, too. Prayer is a right thing. It is a mandate from God to all of us, to every believer. It's not even an option. It's a mandate. It's a mandate from God to every believer. Three, the right way is the biblical truth, aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God that is taught in the God-breathed scriptures. That gives us the precisely correct procedure in prayer. But nobody knows what their Bibles say. They know so little of the Word of God. And they have a lot of religion, but religion is worthless. Religion is the devil's ace trump. But they have very little of the absolute truth of the Word of God. So the right way is the biblical truth taught in the God-breathed scriptures. That's what gives us precisely correct procedure in prayer. So God makes it very clear, there's no place for sloppiness in prayer. Yet that is exactly what we have today among many believers. They are emotional, they're ignorant, they have no idea what the Word of God has to say about precisely correct procedure. They are very sloppy in their prayer life. Why? Because we have ignored what the Word of God says about the biblical principles of precisely correct procedure. So what is precisely correct procedure for prayer? Thank you for asking. One, all prayer is directed to God the Father. You never pray to God the Son. You don't pray to Jesus Christ. You don't pray to the Holy Spirit. All prayer is to be directed to the Father. And who taught us that? God the Son taught us that. Turn over to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Jesus Christ is holding a Bible class on prayer. He's holding a Bible class on prayer. Start at verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. Now Jesus Christ is, don't pray to me, he says. Pray to God the Father. Jesus Christ is declaring, don't pray to me. Pray to the Father. Precisely correct procedure. Pray to your Father, God the Father, who is unseen. And then your Father, God the Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the tongues crowd. That is babbling. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Babble, babble, babble. Yikto, tikto, tikto, ikiliekto. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, gives precisely correct procedure. Three times he has stated, you pray to the Father, pray to the Father. Not trying to impress everybody around you, standing up on the street corner and out in the synagogue. Of course, we're not in a synagogue. Not babbling like the pagans who were involved in babbling at demonism and so forth. Tongues. Now, that's from Jesus Christ. Turn over. Paul makes it the same thing clear in Ephesians 3. So turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, here is the greatest believer perhaps of all time, the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians 3, verse 14, he says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Now, one point. You don't have to kneel. If I kneel before I pray, I'll never make it home. I'll still be in my office. My knees are so bad, I got a bad case of measles. So you don't have to get on your knees. But for this reason, I kneel before who? The Father. This is the Apostle Paul praying to the Father. But Peter also has this figured out. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1:17. Peter also says, since you call on the Father, God the Father, who judges each man's work impartially, you call to the Father in prayer. So you never pray to God the Son. Jesus Christ made that clear. Three times he said you pray to the Father, pray to the Father, pray to the Father. You don't pray to the Holy Spirit. All prayer is directed to the Father. Furthermore, with regard to this, also God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our high priest. He is a high priest, and he makes intercession for us by praying to the Father. Jesus Christ prays to the Father for each one of us, making intercession for us. That's Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. So I'll turn over to Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. Hebrews 7, 24, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood, and therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, faith in Jesus Christ, because he always lives to intercede for them. He is praying for each one of you. Jesus Christ in his priesthood is praying for each one of you to the Father. And not only is God the Son interceding and praying to the Father for you, but so is God the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, himself intercedes in prayer to the Father for us, with groans that words cannot express. And he, God the Father, who searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. So, we are in precisely correct procedure to pray to the Father. And since God the Son prays for us to the Father, since God the Holy Spirit prays for us to the Father, we ought to nail this down and also make sure we pray to the Father. Secondly, all prayer is offered through the channel of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. All prayer is offered through the channel of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14, 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, how do you do that? Well, you can begin your prayer with the approach, Heavenly Father, I am coming in the name of the Son. Or you can conclude your prayer with, in Christ's name, I pray, amen. Whichever way, you must go through channels, for this is precisely correct procedure. There is no place for sloppiness in prayer. Third, all effective prayer is offered by the power of God the Holy Spirit. All effective prayer is offered by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times by the agency of the Spirit, by the agency of the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition in prayer for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18. So all effective prayer is offered through the power of God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if your prayers are not offered by the filling of the Spirit, by the agency of the Spirit, inside the spiritual life, they go nowhere. They go nowhere. Because if you're not filled with the Spirit, what are you doing? You're grieving the Spirit, quenching the Spirit. Where are you? You're out of fellowship with God. Where are you? You're in Satan's cosmic system. You are in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And no prayers offered from the cosmic system go anywhere except for one. Only one. Rebound. That's the only one. Rebound to get back into fellowship with God. Four, so protocol demands that the believer offer all prayers to God the Father in the name of the Son, in the power of the Spirit. Protocol. Protocol demands that the believer offer all prayers to God the Father in the name of the Son and the power of the Spirit. Five, accurate and effective prayer is one of the most powerful weapons in history. Accurate and effective prayer is one of the most powerful weapons in history. In prayer, the spiritually mature believer goes on the offensive against Satan in his world. Yes, Satan is the ruler of this world right now. It's his world. He's running it. But in prayer, the spiritually mature believer takes the offensive against Satan in his world. In every day of my prayer, one of the things I bring up, Father, greater are you who is in me than he who is in the world. Do not allow him in any way to destroy your ministry at Upland Bible Church, to destroy the believers who are living in your world but are here to honor and glorify you to the maximum. Greater is he who is in you, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So go to prayer. Make those things clear. Six, prayer is not a system for controlling other people. It's not a system for controlling other people. You can't pray a prayer which violates the volition and the free will of someone else. The function of your royal priesthood is for the benefit of yourself and for the benefit of others. But it's not a system whereby you control others. Seven. There is one non-protocol prayer which God hears, and that's the prayer of rebound. The prayer to get back into fellowship with God. Now, for the most part, God does not hear the prayers of any believer who is living in Satan's cosmic system, living the carnal reversionistic life. However, inasmuch as rebound is a recovery procedure from sin and re-entry into the spiritual life, and since the mechanics of rebound demand acknowledging our sins to God the Father, it is obvious that acknowledging our sins to God is the only prayer that God hears and answers when the believer is in a state of sin, out of fellowship with God. Eight, there are three results of the rebound prayer. You're restored to fellowship with God. Wahoo. You're restored to the filling of the Spirit, the power to live the spiritual life, and therefore you are entered back into the unique spiritual life of the church age. Rebound makes it possible to continue a life of prayer as part of your spiritual life and fulfilling your royal priesthood. Nine. Prayer is an extension of the spiritual life. Prayer is an extension of the spiritual life. You're not spiritual because you pray. You pray because you are spiritual. And therefore, prayer is a result. A result of you living the spiritual life. The spiritual life is not a result of prayer. Now, one of the great dynamics of prayer is intercessory prayer. So let's take a look at some of the dynamics of intercessory prayer. First of all, the prayer of Elijah on Mount Carmel demonstrates the power of intercessory prayer for the nation. For the nation. And the whole nation was blessed by this fantastic and powerful prayer of this grace-righteous believer. Powerful and effective. And the entire nation was blessed. James 5:16 to 18, which we already studied. Point two, the power of prevailing prayer was exercised in the early church on behalf of Peter, who was being held in prison and was one day away from being executed. He was going to be executed in one day. In fact, half a day, in hours, he was to be executed. But here again, the local church is a team. And the local church was praying as a team for Peter. They were praying for his deliverance. He was going to be executed. That was a done deal. But here's the power of intercessory prayer. Turn over to Acts 12. Acts 12. Acts 12, let's start at verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison. He is hours away from being executed. But the church, the local church, was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Herod wanted to make sure that Peter did not escape. So he is chained to two soldiers. And they were given instructions, do not let him escape. And sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter. He punched him. Boom! Peter was having a good sleep and he knew he was going to be executed. Why worry? So the angel, boom! Punched him. And woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. And when they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. They're praying for Peter. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and I love this. I love this servant girl, Rhoda. I give her a big kiss. She's the only one that really believed what the hell was going on. What are we praying for? Well, we're praying for Peter. He's going to die tomorrow, but we'll pray for him anyway. Well, she was praying, expecting him to be delivered. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed. She just heard his voice. She didn't open the door. She ran back without opening the door. So Peter's still outside and exclaimed, Peter's at the door! And then what did these wonderful believers say? You're out of your mind, Rhoda. He's in prison and going to be executed tomorrow. You are out of your mind. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. They can believe that it's his angel and it's not Peter. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet. And then he described how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Tell James and the brothers about this, he said, and then he left for another place. Now, what's the end of the story? What about those soldiers who were supposed to guard Peter? In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him, and did not find him. He cross-examined the guards, and then he ordered that they be executed. So there was an execution. It was the ones who were supposed to guard Peter. Three. Prayer for unbelievers is legitimate and a part of your dynamics of intercessory prayer. I know some of you have members of your family that are unbelievers. Can you pray for them? Yes. Absolutely. Can you pray for their salvation? Yes. Now, you can't make them believe in Christ, but you can pray for them. You can pray that the grace gospel is given to them. God the Holy Spirit, when the grace gospel is given, He always turns on the light and says, "This is true, this is true, this is true." And they might not have believed the first time you mentioned it to them. They said, "No, I don't believe that. That's too easy. I don't believe that." But the seed was sown. They hear it again. "I don't believe that." But the seed was watered. They hear it again. And down the road, they place their faith in Jesus Christ. You can't make anyone believe in Christ, but you can pray for them. Pray for them that the grace gospel is given one more time. Pray for them that they have one more opportunity to place their faith in Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of unbelievers that say, "No, no, 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 reject, reject, reject," until some of them, until they get to the last few days of their life, and then it's interesting how it works when you know you are about to leave this life. Are you going to live with God in heaven, or are you going to live for all eternity in the lake of fire and judgment? And it's an issue that keeps building and building and building. You keep praying for them. That's Romans 10, verse 1. That was the Apostle Paul. Romans 10, 1. "Brothers, fellow members of the royal family of God, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they might be saved." And the Apostle Paul prayed for the Jewish people, prayed for them, prayed for them, prayed for them, that they might be saved. So don't let anybody tell you you can't pray for the unbeliever. Yes, you can. And pray. And I pray in my personal prayer list. You have the prayer list. There are some of those people we're praying for that are unbelievers. And I pray for them every single day. And then there's prayer for unknown believers. That's Colossians 1, 3 through 12. We don't have time to go into this tonight. It's a fantastic passage. And then 5, the true Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17. And that's the most phenomenal prayer that's ever been made by a human being. John chapter 17, we need to take a look at that great prayer. And 6, the dynamics of the Apostle Paul's intercessory prayers are seen in Ephesians 1, 15 to 23 and Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. All of these are very important and relate to our passage, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Well, this is a great, great passage in prayer promise, 1 John 5:14-15. And I have taught these things on many occasions, and I never tire teaching on them again and again and again. And don't you ever take this lightly. This is very, very powerful. You have been commissioned a royal priest to offer spiritual sacrifices, and that those spiritual sacrifices include prayer. Daily sacrifices of prayer, 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 prayer. And as you attain spiritual maturity, your prayers will be powerful and effective, and they will accomplish much. I believe that with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I hope you do as well. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And don't get any vacuum cleaner. You get to go home. Get in your hot rod and head down the road.